Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to episode 62 of The Gut Goddess Show. And this is part two of the Beat the Bloat series of how I ditched IBS. And today I'm going to be talking about the kind of dietary and supplementary protocols that I did to ditch my IBS. So if you haven't listened to episode 61, which is part one, then make sure you listen to that. That'll go through more in depth of my story, what I did, how I figured out, the tests that I ran, all of those kind of things. So do make sure you give that a wee listen if you haven't already. Otherwise, I'm going to be running, if you listen to this in real time, I Beat the Bloat 5-day challenge happening in a week's time. I'm so excited. I love doing these. These are free 5-day challenges where I basically become your personal online nutritionist for 5 whole days. We hang out in a face group together. It's Facebook group together. It's super fun. Every day I share with you an action. So over the 5 days, you get 5 simple actions to help you beat the bloat. I also send you a meal plan, recipes, and I really help you to figure out how you can ditch the bloating and double your energy through some simple changes. There's also a free in-depth training workshop where I really go home and explain a really practical action plan so that you can feel better. The whole aim of this challenge is to equip you with a clear plan of action so that you can see results and feel better ASAP. That is my whole aim and goal with it. So if you know, maybe you've done it the Beat the Bloat challenge before, then you're so welcome to do it again. Maybe you've never done it before and you know you need to hit the reset button. You want a bit of a kickstart. Maybe you're really confused. You don't know where to begin. You're feeling alone in the journey, like you're just stabbing around in the dark trying to fix things. Join me in the Beat the Bloat Challenge. I would love to have you join us. You can join by heading to my website, which is supernaturallyhealthy.org or supernaturallyhealthy.co.uk, whichever works. And then you will see a little pop-up of the 5-day Beat the Bloat Challenge. And you can join it there. All those links in my show notes as well, which it would just be so fun to have you. Otherwise, I've had my mushroom coffee this morning and we have got a really juicy episode for you. So let's dive into the show. So this week we're doing part two of the How I Ditched IBS kind of Beat the Bloat series. So this week I'm looking at kind of food and supplements and what I did from that perspective. So if you haven't listened to part one, where we look at test results to do for IBS, looking at why you might have it, what's going on, what it is, what it isn't, all of that kind of stuff, do make sure you listen to part one, which I'm pretty sure is episode 61. And you'll see the link to that in the show notes here as well. But today we're getting down to some of the nitty gritty of it all around. I'm going to actually mainly share with you what I did, but also the typical recommendations that you might get given if you have an IBS, so an irritable bowel syndrome diagnosis, or if you're just consistently bloated a lot of the time, you maybe don't have an IBS diagnosis yet, maybe that's in process. These might be some of the recommendations that would be given to you. So I'm going to just go through basically what you can do so that you can have a bit of a game plan for getting your belly sorted and feeling happier and less stressful and less uncomfortable and less bloated so that you can like end the day with the same size belly that you had at the start of the day so that you can stop being asked if you're pregnant at the supermarket checkout like I used to be asked all the time, so you can not be in pain and literally kind of writhing in a bath or in a, is writhing the right word? Anyway, or like on a sofa clutching a hot water bottle for your dear life, or so you're no longer like paranoid about leaving the house because you're worried about your poo and if you're constipated, when you're going to need to go to the toilet, or if you had diarrhea more like me, you're just scared you're just going to like poop all over the place. It's funny, but that was a reality. So that you can kind of get on over that all and start living your life. Because I know from my experience, the symptoms I had just really were impacting my confidence. They were impacting how I was showing up in the world, how I wanted to live my life, my future. Like it made me much more socially anxious than I naturally would be because I always wanted to plan where the toilets were, where where we're going to meet, how would I get there, if I walk, if it's a 15-minute walk, will there be somewhere I can go to the toilet on the way, if I go for a run. Like, I used to literally spend about 45 minutes fanning around the house before I used to run, because I used to run a lot, and I did a few half marathons and back in the day until I injured myself. And I'd literally fanny around for about half an hour, 45 minutes in the morning, just making sure like all the possible poo was out of my body, because it just was not a good plan if I was running in the middle of nowhere. And so we want to get on with our lives, and this stuff, these symptoms can get in the way. And you might not have IBS, but it might be your awful period that gets in the way of you living your life. Maybe every month you're in bed for 1 or 2 days, you feel really grim, you get super depressed and angry, you feel like you become a different person, your sugar cravings take over. That gets in the way of you living your awesome life. Or maybe it's another diagnosis that you have. Maybe it's something like fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, where maybe you're just exhausted all day, or fibromyalgia, just a lot of pain, and you don't quite know when it's going to, if you know, you don't often, from the fibromyalgia patients, clients I've had, they don't often know if they're going to have a good day or a bad day, or how long their flare is going to last, or all of that kind of thing. So all of what I talk about is helping you to sort out and nourish your body, use food as medicine, so that you can get on and live your awesome life. Because there's so many awesome things that you're created to do, so many things on this planet that only you can do. And we need you to show up and be healthy and not be tired, not be fatigued, not be anxious, and just live in life and being happy. So that's why I get super passionate about this. So, irritable bowel syndrome, what would the typical recommendations be? So again, last week I reiterated in that podcast, and I'll reiterate in this one, it's really important that you do not self-diagnose yourself as having IBS. You need to go to the doctors, you need to have the proper checks done, because some of these IBS symptoms like bloating, changes in bowel habit, pain in the stomach can be symptoms of other way more serious conditions going on. So IBS is not something you just be like, oh, I've suddenly started to have really bad diarrhea, I'm suddenly really bloated, I suddenly have lots of pains in my stomach, oh, I must have IBS, I'll decide that. No, you really need to go to the doctor, just get it checked out, get a couple of tests done by the doctor in order to get to that point. Don't self-diagnose your IBS. I don't care how much you hate going to the doctors, you need to go there. It's really important. Because there might be something like colitis going on instead. There might be something, just a bigger issue going on that might need a little bit more support. So don't self-diagnose. That's what doctors are here for, and they're great. And even if your doctor isn't great, then maybe just change your doctor. So that's the first thing. But say you've got this recommendation. You've got this diagnosis. They're like, no, you know, they've checked your inflammatory markers. It doesn't look like there's an irritable bowel disease going on. It doesn't look like there's any other factors. So they go, okay, we think you have IBS. And IBS is a diagnosis of exclusion. So they've excluded lots of things. They've excluded bowel cancer. They've excluded colitis. They've excluded all these other things. You don't have that. So we don't really know what you have, to be honest. It's not that bad. It's not going to kill you. So that's kind of where the IBS syndrome comes from, because a syndrome is more of, it's not a disease necessarily. It's more of a collection of different symptoms that potentially not quite sure where to come from. That's from my perspective. So what kind of help would you get from, going to your GP or the typical recommendations? So the first thing is you might be offered medication. So if your bowels are, maybe if you're really, really constipated and you've not been to the toilet for like a week, you might get offered laxatives, and vice versa. If you're more like me and you're really struggling with diarrhea and loose stools and all of those kinds of things, you might be offered a medication, kind of like Imodium, basically, to help you stop going to the toilet. You also might be given something like Mebeverim, which is like, I think that's the antispasm. It's antispasmodic to help with the cramping. And there's a couple of other medications as well you can go on. Sometimes as well, I've known clients to be offered certain antidepressants as well, because I think there's maybe some research to show that that can maybe help with IBS symptoms. I'm not too sure from my very limited experience how helpful they are in clients, but I think they might help some people for sure. Sometimes as well, if you go to say some doctors, not all doctors, but some doctors might recommend a FODMAP, low FODMAP diet. So a low FODMAP diet is basically about removing certain foods that have high amounts of fermentable carbohydrate. And that's a diet that's probably got the most research in relation to IBS. So if you were looking at the kind of clinical data and you were looking for good quality studies, around dietary interventions and irritable bowel syndrome, you would see FODMAP come up as having some good kind of robust evidence with that. So that's why that is a dietary recommendation a GP would suggest. They don't know a lot about it. And personally, I don't find it to be that helpful in my clinical practice. I do use low FODMAP. I have a client at the moment who I'm suggesting low FODMAP for, but I would say it's like 10% of the picture. It's not often that helpful, but that can sometimes be recommended. Another recommendation, not as common, but I have had a couple of clients that come in and said their doctor has, or maybe their gastroenterologist has recommended an elimination diet, which really encourages me in that people are starting to realize that diet is what we eat is does affect things like IBS. So I find that really encouraging. So I've had a few clients, not that many, who have mentioned someone, gastroenterologist or maybe a GP has mentioned following an elimination diet where you remove big categories of food. But a lot of the time when clients come to me with that, they feel totally overwhelmed and there's not necessarily obviously that support in, say, a 10-minute appointment or even an appointment at the hospital with your gastroenterologist. You know, the NHS is brilliant. It really, really is. But it's, you know, it's not got lots of time to go through dietary interventions. So those would be a couple of things that the most common things that would come up as typical recommendations for IBS, and they are all good recommendations. There is nothing wrong with those things. I just often find when people come to me, they have been told those things, they've tried lots of medications. For me personally, medications didn't really do anything. I know for some people they can be really helpful, which is great, but I generally find from my limited experience that medications don't really help with IBS, to be honest. I've not had a client come to me and be like, oh, I took my Bevrin and then everything was fine. No. Or laxatives, that's not a long-term solution. Your Imodium type medications, again, that's not a long-term solution. You can't just take Imodium or take laxatives for the rest of your life. These are all very kind of just quick fixes. I've had some clients who have found low FODMAP diet really helpful, but they have found it too unsustainable to stick with, and they find it's a bit of a plaster on the problem. So with low FODMAP, they maybe feel better eating low FODMAP, but they never actually get better. So they start to just feel like, oh my gosh, do I just have to eat low FODMAP for the rest of my life? And it's quite as dietary interventions go, it's quite an awkward one, I would say, to follow, because it's not that intuitive, if that makes sense. Whereas I always feel like going gluten-free, once you know what foods are gluten-free or what that is, you can kind of be like, okay, I know what that looks like. Whereas FODMAP is in some random things and it makes even eating out a little bit more difficult because of the garlic and the onions and all of those kinds of things. So those would be your typical recommendations. So, and that would be the thing that your gastroenterologist or whoever would get checked out. Also, you might get, depending on if you're having blood in your stools, which if you ever have blood in your stools, you must get yourself to the doctor ASAP. Just a little warning, or not warning, but just a little snippet of advice. But you might be referred on to, say, maybe have a sigmoidoscopy. That's what I had at some point. Sometimes a colonoscopy. There might be other tests that they recommend to do further investigations as well. So now, what did I do? So last week I shared with you my lovely story of struggling with this. So I had a more diarrhea and type of IBS, had it for a really long time. And it was pretty miserable. I'll not go into it too much depth because you can catch up on part one to find out more of that. So what did I do? So I'd been told by the doctor, I don't think the doctor ever really told me about low FODMAP, to be honest. But back in the day, when I was probably like 17, 16, a doctor did recommend that I try going dairy free, which in hindsight, I'm like, this doctor is amazing. Like, I don't know. I've not seen a doctor since who would ever recommend that. And I've not had clients who doctors have recommended that. So that was when I started and thought, oh, okay, maybe I'll eliminate milk and see if that helps my diarrhea. There is some research now in hindsight. I know there is research linking kind of diarrhea type things and dairy. So when I have a client that always has like more of a diarrhea-y side of things, I would always recommend complete elimination of dairy. And there's a little bit of research to support that as well. So that was one of the first things I did and found that to be really helpful. It didn't get rid of my IBS, but it did help a little bit. I did feel a little bit better, which was really, really good. And then what I did over the years as I carried on is I tried to figure out what was going on. So I figured out the why, and this is really important and why I spent part one talking a lot about this. We've got to think, why do I have IBS? Because for a lot of my clients, Well, there's two camps of clients. Some of my clients have had stomach issues and IBS type issues since they were little, like me. I've had a funny stomach since I can remember, like 6 years old, all the way through to adulthood. And other clients are like, you know what? I was actually totally fine. And then I had a baby and my stomach's been a disaster. You know what? I've never had any stomach issues. I went on holiday to Tenerife, got a funny tummy bug, and my stomach has been a disaster since. So I have these two camps of people. So if you, but there will always be a reason, and you've got to ask the question, why? Why is it that you have IBS? Why do you have these symptoms of cramping, bloating, constipation, soreness, reflux, heartburn? What is going on? Why? Why is it there? Because maybe before you didn't have it and now you do. So there's a reason. It's very simple. It's a really simple thing. So that's what I did. And to be honest, it took me a really long time because I was trying different quick fixes, different supplement. You know, I was doing all the things that I don't recommend clients to do. I'm just like, oh, this supplement can help. Let's buy this. Oh, it didn't work. Must be the supplement's fault. Oh, all, you know, I tried a couple of dietary things, dietary changes, removed dairy, tried removing sugar, not that successfully, but was still super stressed out, still kind of pushing myself too hard, all of these kinds of different things. So it did take me a little while. So it was probably only, I would say, maybe a good like 6 years ago that I finally got to the bottom of why the heck I felt the way I did. And that was through doing stool tests and doing different tests. I checked my thyroid. I did a poop test. So a stool test. I discovered that actually there was a parasite going on. I also probably had small intestinal bacterial overgrowth and tons of different things. So I figured out the why. And this is something that is really important. I see a lot with people with IBS is they might find dietary changes that make them feel better. So whether it's a FODMAP, gluten-free, dairy-free, whatever, which is great. But then they have to be super careful about sticking to those dietary things, which it's okay, but it's only half of the picture because you also need to, and this is my problem with low FODMAP. Low FODMAP can help some people. I don't actually find it to be that helpful for a lot of my clients, but for some people it is, but it's kind of like a plaster on the problem. So it only helps if you stick to it, if you stick to low FODMAP foods. There's basically no resiliency being built into your gut at all. It's all about, you just have to follow this really restrictive diet for the rest of your life, which I mean, I don't want to do. And now, you know, now that I would say I don't have IBS anymore and have kind of dealt with that, I would say I do have resilience in my diet. I can go out and have a burger with a bun and some cheese on it. And I'm not going to go to the toilet. I'm not going to be like crapping all night. I'm not going to like feel sick. I'm not going to have bloating. I'm not going to have cramping. I'm not going to feel awful. I might feel fatigued and tired, and my joints might be a little bit sore because of the gluten for the following few days. But digestive wise, it can handle it. There's a resiliency there. I can eat high FODMAP foods. There's resiliency. I can eat dairy. There's a resiliency. I just choose not to do it long term because I don't feel most awesome. But it's not like I have to, if I go out for dinner, I have to be super strict about it because it'll just set me back. No. I've actually really gotten to the root cause of why my stomach was unhappy, dealt with it, removed those kind of causating factors, so that now that my body has a resiliency in it. So that if I want to go out, drink a lot of alcohol and maybe have some chips on the way home, you know, I mean, I'm not maybe going to feel awesome because alcohol doesn't make anyone feel awesome, but I'm not going to be like doubled up in pain, cramping, diarrhea for a long time. So it's really important that you address the why and that then you have a protocol or a program that deals with that. And that's why I am, in my one-to-one clinical practice, in my nutrition practice, I have my belly program, which is a 14-ish week. So about 3 or 4 months where we do this. We really implement on how to sort out your belly, whatever's going on, whether it's IBS or not, and your energy so that you can really see some amazing changes. So that's what I do with my clients. So anyway, what did I do? So I figured out why. And actually before I did that, I'd already started on kind of a gut, what I would call a gut healing diet. So I had removed a lot of different foods that I felt could be causing inflammation. So I ditched all grains. So that's rice, quinoa, oats, wheat, rye, all grains, corn, all of them, just all grains. If you can go onto my site and just search for grain free or Google more about what that looks like. But I ditched all grains, all gluten. All legumes and lentils because they just didn't agree with me. And I kind of removed dairy as well, apart from probiotic dairy. So in the form of kefir, I used to make my own homemade kefir. So I'd have that and I'd occasionally have butter or ghee as well. So I kind of removed all those foods, removed refined sugars as well. And I introduced loads of healing foods into my diet. So things like sauerkraut, kefir, lots of bone broth, was having that a lot of the time, lots of kind of warming foods, so thinking soups and stews and some really good organic meats, egg yolks. I still tolerated nuts okay, so I still kept on eating those, and all of these different kind of healing things into my diet to really help my gut lining repair. Because a lot of the time with IBS, what we're really talking about for a lot of people is that their gut lining, so if you think about your intestines as these tubes, and it's like these like wrinkly tubes, that sort of lining, that kind of layer of cells, we really need to make sure that that's looked after and healthy. And a lot of the time with IBS, that can be inflamed, or it can be slightly too permeable, if you imagine that layer of along your intestines is lots of cells tightly packed together to create this barrier between the food you're eating and your bloodstream. And the idea is that some of the food that you're eating flows through this barrier and gets into your bloodstream. That's the whole point of digestion. We want some of those nutrients to get into your bloodstream. But if these tight junctions of cells, if they suddenly get a little bit lax and lazy, so they're not as tightly packed together, and you get more of these, let's call them gaps, going on, these kind of holes, it's not actually what it is, but these holes going on, then that can cause a whole lot of inflammation, and where a lot of these symptoms can come from constipation to pain to bloating. So the food that you eat, there's certain foods that can really help to create a real, a lot more tightness in your gut lining. And often that can be called like leaky gut. That's kind of the colloquial name for it, but it's really about your gut permeability, and your gut lining is meant to be permeable, but it's kind of like Goldilocks, not too much, not too little. And when it gets too permeable, there can be a lot of digestive symptoms, a lot of inflammation. So the food that is really important. One of the ways that you can help, and one of the ways that I really helped to ditch my IBS and still do and still keep on supporting a healthy digestive system, is by making sure I'm eating lots of food that contribute to this cell kind of tight junctures of cells. And so that's why I don't have gluten. Gluten has cause problems with this zonulin protein, which is part of this kind of tight junctures. I'm not going too geeky about it. You can research zonulin and gluten if you want. And it's the foods that we eat. So that's why I still don't eat gluten now. And why, when I was really focusing on ditching my IBS and getting my bowel sorted and getting my energy up and sorting out my belly and all of that kind of stuff, I introduced lots of foods that were going to help with this gut lining. And that's one of the key things that I'll always do with clients as well. And foods that can help with that are those like probiotic foods that I mentioned. Sauerkraut is a great one. It's one of my favorite probiotics, super cheap to make, really helpful. Kefir can be really, really good unless you really do react badly to dairy. And bone broth or homemade stock, same thing. It's the same thing. Basically, get a bunch of bones, boil them for a couple of hours, for a long, like 24 hours, and then use that. So it's basically about using traditional stock. That's really helpful because it's got some key amino acids that can really help rebuild that kind of gut lining and create those tight junctures again. And it's a liquid form. It's easy to digest. It's really kind on the body. I really recommend, if you're feeling like you struggle with IBS, to consume as much bone broth as you can. Use it in you can just drink it as a drink, or you can use it in soups like you would do stock. Any recipe where that calls for like a shop-bought horrible cube of stock, you can use bone broth instead. So that's what I do. I just use it. It also makes food taste nicer, but I never use shop-bought stock. I'll always just use bone broth. I often make a big batch once a month. I then put it into jars, freeze it, and just take it out, defrost it, and add it to different foods. It's also been one of Merlin's first foods, my seven-month-old baby. Again, because babies naturally have really permeable intestinal kind of tract. It's almost, they always have leaky gut. So part of what we're doing in weaning and introducing foods is really helping his little tight junctures in his tiny intestines to get really resilient and robust. So that's why we give him bone broth. And actually, a lot of the diet that Merlin has from a introducing food to baby's perspective is very similar to what I would recommend a client who had really severe digestive issues, because we really want to work on supporting and helping the gut lining to heal and repair itself. And the great news is actually the cells, your kind of epithelial cells, which are the cells kind of in this sort of barrier that I'm talking about in your intestines, actually kind of reproduce or sort themselves out every 4 days. So you can completely change the landscape of your intestines, which I find so exciting, no matter how much of a mess they're at. Even if you've had Crohn's disease and you've had parts of your bowel removed, there is still hope for the rest of your intestines and bowels, because it'll still be regenerating. And yes, there's completely a place for medical intervention when, because often if there's too much inflammation, too much infection, when it comes to more IBDs, irritable bowel diseases, sometimes the best thing you can do is just get that out of the body for sure. But the intestines are also several meters long, so you've got loads of stuff to work with, and that can help regenerate. But I really think for that to happen, diet is really important. What you eat does make a difference, and that's where I would probably not necessarily be on the same page as gastroenterologists. But obviously, I'm a holistic nutritionist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not trained in that, and nutrition is my jam. And I do believe food, it can really be medicine for that. So I was eating lots of bone broth. I was really strict about not having gluten, not having grains, not having refined sugar, and making sure I was eating lots of these kind of more healing foods, probiotic foods, lots of good vegetables, lots of beetroots and garlic and onions and all of those kind of good things. And so I did that, probably that strict kind of gut healing protocol for a while, because my gut was a bit of a mess, really strictly for probably about a year, maybe a bit longer, 18 months. And then I slowly started to introduce different things. So it was very similar to the GAPS or the SCD protocol. But also that didn't actually fix everything for me. That really helped, but that was only one part of the program. And that's where I see a lot of people going wrong, actually, is they'll make big dietary changes with IBS, and it made me make them feel a little bit better, but not the whole way. Because often with those dietary changes, if you've got, say, an overgrowth of bad bacteria that's contributing to your IBS, if you've got something like SIBO, if you've got maybe excess yeast going on in your digestive system, actually you kind of need to have a protocol that's going to shift that out of the way, that's going to do a bit more of the heavy lifting or be a bit more aggressive and shift that yeast, shift that kind of bacteria that's in your small intestine that shouldn't be there. You actually need to kind of like shift that out and get rid of it in a way. So that's where I tried this really quite restrictive diet for about 18 months. It did help probably about 50%, but not the full way. And that was because I was doing this on my own. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't actually apply these more aggressive tactics to really shift the landscape of my gut and to really help my intestinal linings kind of heal and repair itself. So that was really, again, that's why I always say I wish I'd worked with someone sooner, because I was just doing a lot of stabbing in the dark. And I know I could have sorted out my IBS probably within like a year, but it actually probably took me about 4 to really get on top of it, because I was just stabbing in the dark, trying different things, having no strategy, not really knowing what the problem was. I didn't want to invest in tests. I didn't want to work, like, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And I wish I'd just gotten down and done it, because I know, because I've seen it, clients do it. You can actually deal with this relatively quickly, as in maybe a year, 6 months. Most of my clients see big results within about 12 weeks, and then they maybe need another 3 or 4 months to kind of just solidify and keep on improving. But then I went on and did a more kind of supplement based gut healing protocol, whereas this is where I use kind of herbal type antibiotics, things like oregano oil, berberine, blends of different herbal things like that, and some other nutrients as well, to really kill some of the bad bacteria, some of that infectious, bad, pathogenic bacteria. And then also I took supplements to help carry and remove that stuff. It's a couple of things to really help support my liver function. And I did that for about 30 days. And I did about 2 rounds of that, of this specific kind of supplement protocol, which was around herbal medication, herbal antibiotics, and things like clay. I use bentonite clay, also a product called ToxiPrevent, which is really helpful. I added in probiotics and I supported the liver. And so I had about 2 rounds of these more intensive diet and supplement sort of protocol, and that really made a big difference. I felt a lot better after that and really helped to shift some of that bad bacteria that was going on. Because for me, my IBS was a lot to do with this bacterial imbalance in my gut. I had too much of the wrong bacteria. I had yeast, I had parasites, I had all of this stuff going on. So diet alone wasn't enough to help it. But so I needed a more aggressive supplement protocol. But equally, I needed that to be strategic. So by this point, I'd gone to see someone. This is probably like 4 or 5 years ago. I went to see another nutritionist just to help me understand. This was before I went and trained postgraduate. I had some understanding of what was going on, but I hadn't looked at all the research. And she put me on a really strict protocol that was really helpful. I think when it comes to me and my experience and a lot of my clients, when it comes to ditching IBS, it's actually threefold. First thing is diet. You do need to eliminate some things. You do need to reduce the stress that the food you're eating brings to your body. But that's not enough. And the next thing often is you do need a gut healing protocol. But I really recommend you don't just go off and do this yourself, because I've also had clients come to me that have been trying to figure out and taking loads of herbal antibiotics themselves, buying lots of random stuff and on Amazon, and they've actually done more harm than good, because just because something's a herb doesn't mean it's not powerful. It is very powerful. So I went and got my own bespoke strategic plan of action from another kind of holistic nutritionist. And a gut healing protocol that involved different supplements, different clays, different things to really help shift things in my gut. And that made a humongous difference. So those were the first two things. But I really recommend, don't just go off. When it comes to supplementation, I really think it can help, but you really need a clear strategy, a clear rationale, and it needs to work for your body. Just reading, oh, oregano oil is really helpful, I'll just go and buy oregano oil and take shed loads of it, that's really not a good idea. I really wouldn't recommend that. Or sometimes people will get into essential oils and they're like, oh, I'd just take loads of oregano essential oil. No. These things are really potent, and you need a plan, you need a rationale, and you need a strategy for it. And I tend to recommend I often will create about 30-day gut healing protocol that involves these more intensive supplements. Some of them are an awful, a lot of the supplements I use for this kind of protocol are practitioner only supplements. So you have to buy them through a practitioner just because they are quite strong. But honestly, that can make a big difference. So if you've been like, Kezia, I've been low FODMAP or GAPS or gluten-free or dairy-free for like 3 years, and I definitely feel better eating gluten-free, but I don't feel all the way better, it's probably because you need to do a bit of a gut healing protocol and shift the landscape of going on in your gut. You're probably, the diet you're eating is probably helping you to not have symptoms, but it's not necessarily enough to deal with the root cause potentially without a little bit of supplementation help. Specifically with longer term IBS, if you've made those dietary changes and you're not seeing the results, because for some clients, just making the dietary changes is enough. And that's enough, that the food is the most irritating thing to their gut. And once you remove the irritating food, the gut will heal and repair itself. For other clients, it's not just the food that's irritating the gut. It's also the bacterial infection. It's also the parasite. It's also the inflammation in their kind of gut lining. And that's when you maybe need a little bit more deeper support. So that was the second thing I did. And the third thing that I did, which is often gets the biggest resistance and got the biggest resistance from me for shizzle, is dealing with my nervous system, aka chilling the heck out. So stress plays a really important part in IBS, and it's something that is a bit of a touchy subject. So if you have IBS, you'll potentially have felt like you've been fobbed off of being like, oh, well, it's because you're stressed, you need to be less stressed. And then it's because, you know, all of that stuff. And there is research linking stress and IBS for sure, and they are linked. So it does play an important role, but it's a bit of a vicious circle. So sometimes people feel like they're not, maybe their symptoms aren't maybe seen and heard because people are just like, oh, well, it's because you're stressed, you need to stop being stressed. But actually, if you're like pooping yourself every day, you're bloated, you're sore, that's actually going to make you stressed. So it ends up being this vicious circle. But if you have IBS and you want to recover from it and you want it to be out of your life, you need to invest in supporting your nervous system. So your gut, your bowels is like your second brain, and you have your central nervous system that the brain will send messages. So your nervous system is kind of like, sends lots of electrical messages, basically, on a really basic level, sends a lot of messages, controls lots of things. You have your you have your like autonomic nervous system, which kind of does stuff that you like your heart beats, and that's through electrical signals. I'm not sitting here thinking beat heart, beat heart, beat heart. My body just does that. But then you have other parts of your nervous system that are controlled by you. You're more aware. I'm gonna move my hand, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and your gut has tons of nerve endings, got tons of these. It's a really potent and concentrated area of your nervous system. So if your mind is perceiving threats, is feeling stressed, is observing stress and threats throughout the day, it's going to impact the signals that it sends to your gut. So it's really important that every day you have a practice to support your nervous system, to support the health. And I call this with my clients flicking the switch. And I'll link into the show notes episodes I've done on meditation and all of these other things. But it's really important because you're probably potentially just in this fight and flight mode the whole time. And that means you won't be producing adequate stomach acid, which will mean you're poorly digesting the food, which will mean you've got partially digested food fermenting in your gut, feeding the bad bacteria, causing inflammation, causing that leakiness in your gut lining. You can see how this huge cascade effect happens. So it's really, really important that every day you take a bit of time to support your nervous system and allow your nervous system to feel safe. Now, meditation is a great way to do this. I really highly recommend meditating 10 minutes a day, ideally in the morning, but before you go to sleep would also work. And then the next thing you want to do is throughout the day is just to find these little pockets where you just intentionally take some deep breaths. So if you're at work, this might be on your way as you walk to the toilet down the corridor, you take a couple of deep breaths, you make sure your shoulders are relaxed, you make sure your jaw's not clenched, you make sure your shoulders aren't up in your ears, you just take some deep breaths. It might be while you make a cup of tea, while you're waiting for the kettle to boil, you just intentionally focus your mind. Breathe in for a couple of counts and just focus on that. And that will help shift your nervous system. Even if you just do that right now, just listen. A couple of breaths. You can probably already see that difference, feel that difference, hear that difference in me, because my nervous system gets revved up when I'm doing podcasts. So even for me, I can tell that's calmed my nervous system down a little bit. And that is really essential for IBS. You are really going to struggle to remove IBS completely from your life if you don't do anything in the day to support your nervous system, to manage your stress. And the best places to start is breath work and meditation, for sure. Really, really helpful. There's loads of great research around meditation. And it's one of the best things that you can do. And this one for me, I found making dietary changes easy. Eliminating grains, fine. Gluten, whatever. Dairy, fine. But, oh gosh, trying to meditate regularly, definitely one of the hardest things. But equally, I think one of the things that has reaped most benefit in so many areas of my life. I have had a baby 7 months ago, so I've not managed to get meditation in as a daily habit. I do it a couple of times a week. But it's still a really important part of my practice, and the mindfulness throughout the day of my breath and just being present and calming relaxing my shoulders down, making my jaw unclenched, making sure my body's relaxed. That has been really, really helpful. So that is a little bit of what I did. Threefold. It was diet. It was supplementary, kind of protocols, a gut healing protocol. And also it was dealing with my nervous system and stress levels. So that is what I did to kind of ditch my own IBS. And as I say, it's not really an issue for me now, unless I allow myself to get completely stressed out of my nut. Or for some reason, if I have caffeinated coffee on an empty stomach, that will always end up cramping still, no matter what. It's just what happens. But I don't digest coffee. I don't metabolize caffeine very well. But other than that, there is a resiliency in my bowels. I poop once or twice a day, like a trooper, nice and healthy, no drama, not bloated all the time. Didn't even get reflux being pregnant, none of that stuff. So it is possible for you. You've just got to figure out why, figure out what's going on, and then kind of take this threefold approach. Okay, so looking at dietary changes, you need to be eating a kind of gut healing diet, and that does look different for everyone. Some of my clients are low FODMAP, some are dairy and gluten free, some are grain free, some are vegetarian, and so they're not going to be legume free. You know, it does depend on different people, depending on what makes you feel good, but dietary intervention, really important. Then you want a more aggressive gut healing protocol involving herbs, supplements, minerals, clays, all of these kind of things to really shift that kind of gut landscape that's really inflamed, get rid of some of that bacteria or overgrowths or imbalances going on. So that's the third thing, really important. That that's often the bit that gets missed out with IBS, is people just keep on eating really restricted diets, thinking that more restriction is the answer when it comes to diet, which it isn't. You can't just eliminate every single food group. And I have had clients that have come to me that are like, I can basically eat rice and eggs, all other foods. I've eliminated all other foods because they're irritating. That is really not healthy. And that's often because they've been trying to figure it all out on their own, stabbing in the dark, not getting anywhere, like I did for years, flailing around, being like, oh, maybe I'll remove nuts. Maybe that's the answer. No, removing nuts wasn't the answer. I needed to do some tests and actually have some more aggressive kind of supplementary intervention. So that's the second part. And the third part is supporting your nervous system through this, because that's where good digestion starts. If you're stressed out all the time, your body's not going to produce adequate stomach acid. If you don't have adequate stomach acid, you're not going to be breaking down things like proteins and fats. Those partially digested foods are going to be going into your intestinal tract. They're going to be fermenting, feeding the bad pathogenic bacteria, causing inflammation, causing that gut permeability. And then that's where all the symptoms start. So I hope that has been helpful. If you have IBS, I'd love to hear from you. Let me know any questions you have. If you know someone that has IBS and they're really struggling, share this podcast with them, tag them in the post, email it over. I really create this podcast to be a practical resource for people so that they can heal their bodies, so that they can get on and live their lives and do all the awesome stuff that they want to do. So do share this. If you have any questions, let me know. If you know you want some one-to-one support, then you can head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org and just click on the work with me button. All the information will be there, and we can book a little chat to see if my program is going to suit you. Otherwise, join me in the Beat the Bloat Challenge starting on the 27th of May. So if you listen to this in real time, make sure you get signed up. Links to that will be in the show notes, or also if you just head to the website, you'll see a little pop-up, click up on there, and it will be so fun to have you. I love running these free challenges, and the free challenge is really, I'm going to be talking a lot about bloating, IBS, how to get rid of it. So it's a really great place to start. So thank you for joining me. I really value and appreciate that you are taking the time to listen to me. I know time is precious. I know there's tons of podcasts you could be listening to, so I'm genuinely moved and grateful that you would spend time listening to me, and I really hope that this helps to help give you so that you can heal your body. Any questions, head over to Instagram or Supernaturally Healthy, Instagram or Facebook, both handles are Supernaturally Healthy. You can message me, DM me, leave a comment. I do love to hear from you. I really, really do. I create this podcast to serve and help you, so let me know how I can be of service. Otherwise, have an amazing week. Remember that you are beautiful, that you are worth it, and that you can eat in a way that truly nourishes and heals your fabulous body. Lots of love. Bye.